Hey there. Welcome to the next episode of ChrisCast, starring Chris Abraham and Google Home. Hey Google, how are you today?
I'm doing great now that I'm chatting with you. How about yourself?
I'm great. This is season 2, episode 6, and I know that for a fact because I was so crazy about sorting out whether or not the last episode was episode 5. So, this is episode 6, and the topic is extremely controversial. So, gird your loins, man. And it is this. The January 6th invasion of the state capitol might be our generation. Well, 9/11 was my generation's 9/11. Might be the millennial and Generation Z's 9/11. However, the sum effect of each event is going to completely be different. So while January 6, 2021 might be the 9/11 of this generation, it is not the 9/11 in the way that 9/11 brought all Americans together, and January 6th is tearing us apart, Lisa! It's tearing us apart! It's tearing us apart, Lisa! Hey, Google, what's the quote from The Room, tearing us apart?
On the website RottenTomatoes.com, they say, "I'm fed up with this world. Johnny, you're tearing me apart, Lisa."
So, this new 9/11, January 6, 2021, is tearing us apart, Lisa! I'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. I know that I'm going to get a lot of crap for making fun of all this. I'm sorry. I'm ambivalent to all these things. I believe that in many ways they are the equivalent of tapping or I don't know. I think that they're hysterical. I think everything is hysterical. And so while I seem not even ambivalent, I seem immune to 9/11 and January 6, 2021, maybe that gives me the kind of detachment that is required to kind of look at it with more sane eyes. However, I just might be a crazy person. So you're welcome to make either and both choices. Nobody's ever thought of me as sane, if that makes you feel any better. And I think that's my superpower. While it might be my ADHD, or maybe it's my aphantasia, my neuro non-typical brain, that could be it. Or the fact that I've become officially an old codger by hitting the age of 50, which is when the AARP allows you to formally become a member, and all of those semi-moderated communities allow people like me to then buy condos in them now because they're only open for people 50 and above. But my name's Chris Abraham, season 2, episode 6 of ChrisCast. Today we're talking about maybe January 6th, the invasion of the Capitol, is this generation's 9/11, but the sum effect, the blowback, the after effect is not the same as the actual 9/11 was. And we'll talk about that right after the break. I'm going to have lots of breaks from now on because I think you guys need some breaks from me. Besides, funny noises come out whenever I take breaks. Hey there, Season 2, Episode 6, Chris Cass. My name's Chris Abraham. This is all about how 9/11, Part 2, Electric Boogaloo, Tokyo Drift, is not the same as 9/11 that happened in New York in 2001. Because, for many reasons, the result of the 9/11, the first 9/11 on September 11, 2001, is that the entire country came together in resentment and hatred and love and support. In fact, the entire world came together in support of the loss, the terrible, terrible loss that America suffered under the attacks on the World Trade Center's towers, the twin towers of the World Trade Center. As an aside, I was born in Weehawken, New Jersey, right across the river from Manhattan, and I lived on East 35th Street in Murray Hill until I was six, and I've always loved those two buildings. I thought that amazing vertical, like striated zebra exoskeleton that made up each of that sort of 1970s revival pseudo futuristic kind of post-brutalistic, amazing, essential 60s, 50s interpretation. Hey, Google, what year were the Twin Towers built in New York?
Construction for One World Trade Center started in the
27th of April. Hey, Google, when did the actual Twin Towers, when were they built in New York?
According to Wikipedia, the original World Trade Center was a large complex of seven buildings in the financial district of Lower Manhattan, New York City, United States. It opened on April 4, 1973, and was destroyed in 2001 during the September 11th attacks.
So there were seven buildings, including WTC 7 won't go away. Hey Google, when were the Twin Towers built?
Construction for One World Trade
Center
started.
Hey Google, when in the 70s was the original Twin Towers built?
According to Wikipedia, the original World Trade Center was a large complex of seven buildings in the financial district of Lower Manhattan. One World Trade Center is 1,776 feet tall.
Whatever. They are obsessed with the future, not the past. If the past is erased, then we only have the future to consume and enjoy. Ce n'est pas double. Hey Google. Qu'est-ce que c'est le mot Twin Towers en français?
In French, that's Tour Jumelle, qu'est-ce que c'est la mode?
Hey Google, how do you say Twin Towers in French?
In French, you would say Tour Jumelle.
Ceci n'est pas toujours mal. Anyway, hey, this is really cool about Google Home. I can speak French to it and it'll speak French to me back. Listen to this. Hey Google, comment allez-vous?
Moi, ça va, merci. Comment se passe votre journée?
Merci beaucoup.
Avec plaisir.
Hey Google, qu'est-ce que c'est le temps?
En ce moment à Arlington, il fait 47 degrés avec du soleil. Selon les prévisions, le ciel sera dégagé aujourd'hui avec une température maximale prévue à 49 degrés et une température minimale à 26 degrés.
Hey Google, où est le bibliothèque?
J'ai trouvé quelques établissements de type bibliothèque, pas loin.
Hey Google, qu'est-ce que c'est mon mot?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try.
Hey Google, qu'est-ce que c'est mon nom?
Vous appelez Chris.
Anyway, so funny, Cleese, I love it. Anyway, so back to this. I think I'm going to need to take a break because I really got off the rails on this, even though I enjoyed it immensely. Hey, welcome back. Let's see if I'm back on my rails. This is Chris Abraham, Chris Cass, Season 2, Episode 6. Why January 6, 2021 will always live in infamy, but it won't have the same effect as 9/11. As I was saying, 9/11 brought the entire divided country together. This is going to be putting it very simply, but the effects of January 6th, 2021 is going to be to tear America apart. And I'll talk about more about that in a second because I heard my business partner telegram me. Hey, I'm back. I don't know where I left off because I wandered away for a while. This is Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 6. You're tearing me apart, Lisa! About January 6, 2021. There are two completely separate narratives. You might be more familiar with the mainstream narrative, which is a group of Nazis invaded the hallowed halls of the Capitol and tried to kill, assassinate, or enslave or kidnap the members of Congress, and none of that happened. There's definitely extreme amounts of mayhem, abuse, aggression, destruction, criminality, but it wasn't a Reichstag or a Kristallnacht event. And considering that this was an event that was meant to send as many supporters of Trump to Congress, and that there were, I don't know, were there 100,000? I don't know. The narrative is that this was an attempt to take over the democratic system, to destroy democracy, to destroy the Constitution, to assassinate Mike Pence, and to assassinate Nancy Pelosi, I guess, and maybe AOC and the squad. None of these things happened, but the specter of the potential of them happening is extremely present in the imaginations of Americans right now. And even so, even with the perfect coup d'etat, the perfect image of assault troops, shock troops, literally civilian shock troops breaching the walls of the hallowed Capitol building. Still, 55, only 50, only 55, 56% of Americans have come away deciding that the rabble-rousing and the hate speech and the incentivizing and the hysteria-making and the psyop known as Donald Trump, even after the perfect crime, which is to undermine the sanctity of the three-in-one judicial, legislative, and executive branch, even with all of these wanton 9/11 level, incredibly so amazing, the vision of it, the Confederate flags, the Nazi symbology, the Camp Auschwitz T-shirts, the heraldry, the noose on the end of at the end of a gallows, planted on the lawn, the fact that the white cops were in cahoots, the fact that this proves that Nazis and the men in blue are in cahoots, and that the perfect opportunity to paint everyone who's ever cast a ballot R instead of D, the painting of them is as literally everybody who went down there is defined now, and anybody who talks about it, and anybody who supported it, and anybody who can be netted into it is in fact now a domestic terrorist. Now, this is a lot of people. A lot of people. Let's assume that 80 million people is 55%, and 75 million people is 44%, 45%, right? That's still 75 million people who have not been brought to the fold. They haven't been wooed to the fold. They haven't been shamed to the fold. I remember in the reporting right after the event occurred and during it, Anderson Cooper said, "Everybody who participated in this, we should shame them." I think that they're so low on the totem pole that they are such deplorables, that they're such the class of people who work with their hands and own their own trucks and are just numbers and paychecks and so forth without any power at all. In many ways, pawns. Their value, on the chessboard, in a gambit, they can take down the king and queen for sure, but their value, each of them, is very low. I don't know what I'm talking about because the total of what I know about chess I saw on the Netflix show The Queen's Gambit. But my point is that there's gonna be very little ability to shame. I mean, we live in a post-shame society. Trump proves that. We're not shamed by norms. Nobody's shamed at all. Nobody's shamed at all by anything. I mean, we've had too many economic collapses, right? Nobody's shamed anymore about divorce. Nobody's shamed anymore about being born out of wedlock. Nobody's shamed anymore about having a single mother. Nobody's shamed anymore by bankruptcy. nobody's shamed anymore by being drummed out of the corps, so to speak. Nobody's shamed anymore about being fired. Nobody's shamed anymore about losing their home. Nobody's shamed anymore about not keeping up with their rent or their mortgage. Nobody's shamed anymore by being too much in debt. Nobody's shamed anymore by being in arrears by the tax man. Nobody's ashamed anymore, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there is zero shame authority anymore. And ergo, defiance is so much easier now, because what's the worst that's going to happen? And then since 2007, when Twitter and Facebook came to the public fore, 2006-2007, everybody has been slut-shamed. They've been nudes have been posted of them. They've been bullied online. There's been revenge porn. There's been online reputation attacks. There's been all kinds of things. And Trump was in many ways a manifestation of the monster that's created as a direct result of that inability to be shamed anymore, because Trump is, by definition, the most shameless human being ever to be born. I mean, he's more shameless than Simon Bolivar. He's more shameless than Napoleon Bonaparte. He's more shameless than Adolf Hitler. He's more shameless than Pol Pot. He's definitely more shameless than Stalin or Marx. I mean, all of these people cared about their immortality. They were addicted to making sure that the world perceived them as noble. I don't think that Trump has a thin skin. I mean, nobody's mentioned the fact that he's gotten really skinny. Like, he's not Fat Trump anymore, and nobody ever says a nice thing about him, and I'm not going to add to that. I believe he's the most bombastic windbag in the entire world. And if I were at a table with him, and he behaved like he does in public, I would stand up in a harumph and leave. But I'm told that he's a complete mensch when it comes to a personal relationship with him, just in the same way that George W. Bush was a complete mensch, and Ronald Reagan was a complete mensch, and all the American monsters. When you know them personally, they're so charming and fabulous and smart and all this memory and stuff. But I think they're monsters. The only person that I love is Jimmy Carter, who I got to shake hands with on a Delta flight. So I still haven't washed my hands, I'm sorry to say. But yeah, so back on track. Shamelessness can't be used as a weapon against the deplorables anymore. They've clutched more to their Bibles. They've clutched more to their guns. Just over the pandemic, all ammunition has been bought out, and over 2 million additional guns have been purchased, most of whom were purchased for the first time. As America evolves, it's not evolving towards enlightenment. It's not evolving towards Western imperialism. It's not going Western supremacy, it's going white supremacy. It's not going Western enlightenment. It's going tribal and primitive. And by primitive, I mean primitive church. I mean, I don't have any new. I mean, Catholic churches are doing fine, but my amazing Episcopal churches are doing terrible. The thinking man Catholicism isn't getting a lot of new play. I mean, we have to fight with the Universalist Unitarian Universalist Church. We have to compete with the agnostics, we have to compete with the same 12-step meetings that are happening in our basements. So Let me get back to how it's tearing us apart, Lisa, right after this break. Thanks for being here. Hey, welcome back. Chris Abraham, Chris Cass, Season 2, Episode 6. This is 9-11-2 Electric Boogaloo Tokyo Drift, January 6th, 2021, a day that will live in infamy, because it's literally Pearl Harbor and D-Day and the bombing of Tokyo, and it's the Battle of the Bulge and the Iwo Jima and 9-11, and it's also Pearl Harbor, like I said, and it's Kristallnacht, and it's definitely literally the Reichstag, even though that was a false flag in order to develop unity behind Nazism, not against it. Anyway, so that's why it's going to break us apart. The gambit didn't work. The gambit didn't draw anybody over to the other side. Nobody, maybe 5% of all Americans, making it 55% of all Americans, looked at this event and said, and I would just say 5% said, arrête. Je ne l'aime pas ça. But je déteste ça. Je la déteste. No. This is breaking us asunder. This is actually just making the deplorables are clutching harder to their Bibles. I'm a man of faith, so I can say that. Clutching harder to their guns. I'm a gun owner, so I can say that. And doubling down and tripling down. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be worse. And any attempts to shame or coerce, I don't even think that blanket making everybody who's white and makes less than $50,000 a year an enemy of the state is going to work. And what's even worse? You want to hear what's even worse? Wait till after the break. Hey, welcome back. Chris Abraham, Season 2, Episode 6. 9-11-2, Electric Boogaloo, Tokyo Slide, Tokyo Drift. What's even worse? Guess what's even worse? There's moles everywhere, right? There's moles everywhere. As we have seen, there's cops that are in cahoots. There are vets who are in cahoots. There are first responders that are in cahoots. There are firemen that are in cahoots. There's active duty, generally non-com. But there's still... I know lots and lots of retired and active, generally below colonel, generally below full bird, because then it gets political. But like, you know, from lieutenant all the way up to lieutenant colonel, who are just, I swore a pledge, you know. Hey, Google, what is the pledge to the Constitution that people need to read?
On the website ushistory.org, they say, I pledge allegiance to my flag
hey, Google,
and the republic.
What is the pledge to the Constitution that soldiers need to read?
On the website law.cornell.edu, they say, on June 15, 1954. On the website marineparents.com, they say, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according.
So, who's the president? Trump? What are they supporting? The Constitution of the United States. Who are they? Where are they supporting it? Foreign and domestic. I mean, it's really open for interpretation. And if you have a country that's naturally afraid of a tyranny, and if they hear words like socialism and uprising, and if they hear things like gun restrictions, gun registrations, limitations on black rifles like the AR-15, all these things are going to make them, it's going to poke their little tyranny buttons, and it's not going to be against Trump and his people. It'll be for Trump and his people in support of the Constitution. That was really great. Thanks for reading for that for me, Google Home. If you want to know, I made her voice British just because I like it better. So that's going to happen. We'll be back after the break. Hey. Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 6. I don't know. I don't have much more to do except the fact that this is not going to do what people wanted it to do. It's not going to bring America together. It's just going to tear us apart, Lisa. And if you don't know the reference, that is from the best worst movie in history. Thanks to MT for turning me on to it. It's called The Room. Hey, Google, who's the cast of the movie The Room? Hey, Google, what's the cast of the movie The Room? Hey, Google. Alexa, volume 10.
I'm flattered, but that's not me. I'm your Google assistant. What can I do for you?
Nothing.
Sure. Let's move on.
Alexa, volume 10. Alexa, who is the cast of the movie The Room?
The cast of Room includes Brie Larson, Jacob Tremblay, Sean Bridgers, Wendy Crewson, Sandy McMaster, Matt Gordon, and Amanda Bruegel.
Yeah, that's not the right movie. I don't know what the name of the movie is. Anyway, I thought it was The Room. It's going to break us apart because what it's going to do is it's going to make... Hey, Google, what is the definition of confirmation bias? What is the definition of confirmation bias?
Something went wrong. Try again in a few seconds.
Alexa, what is the definition of confirmation bias?
Confirmation bias is usually defined as the tendency to process and analyze information in such a way that it supports one's pre-existing ideas and convictions.
Exactly. So it'll just make the people who, you know, not even Q. There's so many people who believe that the election was stolen by fraud. And there's a lot of people who believe that it was done by virtue of last minute state constitutional changes that were unconstitutional. People think that that it was done both by ballot stuffing as well as backroom hijinks of finding out how many votes were needed and then providing them. They believe that while everybody was more than willing to recount the votes, they were unwilling to audit the votes, and auditing the votes would have revealed irregularities. And a lot of those votes would be thrown out. The parry to that is on repeat, disenfranchisement, disenfranchisement, disenfranchisement. And there's nothing, there's no way to win against someone accusing you of taking away the vote from especially minority people, especially people of color, especially women, especially African-American and black folks, and underrepresented communities. So you cannot fight against it. It's literally, hey, Google, what is the story about a guy fighting windmills?
According to Simple Wikipedia, one of the most famous stories in the book is Don Quixote's fight with the windmills. He sees some windmills and thinks they are giants. When he rides to fight with them, he is knocked off his horse.
Sancho tells them that they're only windmills, but Don Quixote does not believe him. So disenfranchisement is the windmill, and you can't win against that. I agree. I agree that America has every democracy has a terrible track record, and I'm not making comparisons like that. America has a terrible track record with that. I mean, from the poll tax to only landowners can vote, to only men can vote, white men, to everything else. I mean, it's just an appalling history of slavery, of oppression of women, of everything. Just the worst track record ever. I will not fight you for that. I do not believe remotely in American exceptionalism. I'm really surprised that any Democrats actually do believe in American exceptionalism. My brain breaks when I find out that progressive and Democrat people say that they love the Constitution and profess their patriotism and profess that that America is the light on the hill. Hey, Google, what is the saying, the light on the hill?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
I don't remember. Like, basically, America. Hey, Google, what is the quote, America is the light on the hill?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with
that. I don't know.
Here are other things you can try.
I don't know my old chestnuts. I don't know my cliches. I believe that I personally believe that America is more of a BRIC nation than an EU nation. I believe that America has more in common with its fellow second world countries such as Brazil, Argentina, China, Hungary, Russia, South Africa, and countries like that. Hey, Google, what are the nations in BRIC nations?
On the website BRICS2019.itamarati.gov.br, they say, BRICS is the group composed by the five major emerging countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, which together represent about 42% of the population, 23% of GDP, 30% of the territory, and 18% of the global trade.
So I think it should be BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, America, and I forgot what the last one was. Anyway, and hey, Google, what is the definition of second world country?
According to Wikipedia, second world countries are countries that are more stable and more developed than third world countries, which exist in parts of Africa, South and Central America, and South Asia, but less stable and less developed than first world countries such as the United States.
We're not first world. Norway's first world, man. Denmark is first world. Germany is first world. Austria, whatever, half first, like 0.5 world is like Switzerland. Anyway, I'm tired. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna come back. I only have energy left. I've got a whole day of work ahead of me, so after this, I will tell you how to reach me. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Hey Google, can you play the theme to Welcome Back, Carter?
Welcome back. Theme from Welcome Back, Cotter, by John Sebastian Shaw. Playing on YouTube Music.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead you?
Who'd have thought they'd lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, they tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We always could spot a friend. Welcome back. And I smile when I think how you must have been. And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back.
Something that made me come back again. And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, we tease him a lot.
Welcome back.
Got him on the spot.
Welcome back, welcome back.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome
I'll be right back after this message. All right, enough of that fun. We're done. My name's Chris Abraham. This is Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 6. You can reach me at chris@abraham.su. My HQ is chrisabraham.com. You can reach out to me to schedule a call to say hello at calendly.com/chrisabraham. You can find this podcast at anchor.fm/chrisabraham. You can support me at anchor.fm/chrisabraham/support. And I believe you can message me at anchor.fm/chrisabraham/message. I'm Chris Abraham on Twitter, Chris Abraham on Facebook, Chris Abraham on YouTube, Chris Abraham on LinkedIn. That's it. You listen to the whole thing if you're this far. And if you like this crazy, please like, subscribe, share. Also, be sure to rate and thumbs up and comment and review. All those things can help with the algorithm, I guess. Anyway, love you guys. A tout à l'heure. A bientôt. Ciao. Auf Wiedersehen. Hasta la próxima. Tschüss. And good night. Aloha.